Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. How are we doing today? You encouraged?
Yeah.
What an awesome service it has been, and it's great to be able to preach the word for us today. I'm excited to get into the Bible with y'all, and I know we've had this summer series of essentials, and you know, this has been an amazing focus on what are some of the essentials for us in following Jesus. Some of these important foundational topics, scriptures, areas that all of us have really got to grab onto and be grounded by. And I'm excited for our topic today. What we're going to be talking about is the essential of growing to maturity. Amen. That we need to grow to maturity as Christians and not stay spiritually immature or spiritually young, but to grow spiritually. And I don't know why, you know, I'm doing this sermon. It might be because I'm the oldest guy in here. So, you know, I'm not that old, but when you put me in this, you know, context, yeah, I'm the old man. So I got to talk about, you know, growing up and onto spiritual maturity. It might be that. The other reason we might be talking about growing to maturity today is because tomorrow is Jace's birthday. And we're talking about going from kind of being an infant Christian to a mature Christian. And we're watching Jace grow up from infant into, you know, he'll be, you know, a kid and then on to maturity and stuff like that. But, you know, there's times in our life where we want to kind of make sure, hey, am I maturing? Am I growing? And today we're going to be talking about spiritual growth and maturity. I do want to start the sermon off by giving you a little bit of a Novak family life update that I'm going to keep more announcement style today and in the future maybe share a little bit more about so that I don't get overly emotional as I do at different times. But, you know, in our life, in our Novak family, I believe God is calling us into a stage of new maturity and growth. And so, you know, Chelsea and I have been in the ministry for 14 years. We've worked with campus ministry pretty much that entire time, along with helping some other groups. And 3 years ago, we were kind of at this crossroads of, are we ready to kind of lead and work with a more regular region of the church with families and, you know, all that stuff, or stay focused on campus? And the leadership of the New York City church came to us and said, hey, what if you plant and start this new city campus region in Manhattan and help reach young adults and college students in the city? We prayed, we fasted, and we signed up for 3 years of doing that. And that has been an absolute joy and a blast. And I could go into so much of how much we have loved getting to be with this ministry the last 3 years and see God bless that faith and those prayers in this place. And so this summer will be the end of 3 years of us doing that. And so we decided to go before God and pray, God, is there something for us to mature into as a family to go on to a next chapter with? And so we've kind of spent this last little bit of time praying about that and looking into some different areas that we felt called to. And so Chelsea and I have officially accepted a position where we're going to be region leaders in the Boston Church of Christ. And so I know that is a big shock to many of you, and I do want to share about that more in the future at some point. But we really do believe that God is calling us to that. We're very excited to be in a place where our kids can got to be focused on with family ministry, and that Chelsea and I can even focus on that ourselves and reaching out to other young families. And so, you know, that's huge for us because we love, and this is where I'm saying I can't get overly into it right now. We love the New York City Church with all of our heart. And so it has been a lot of prayer and fasting to come to that decision and to hear God calling us to go and lead the South Coastal region of the Boston Church. And so at the end of summer, that's what our family will be doing. And so you can be praying for us, and we'll have other time, I'm sure, to share more and to focus on that. But I did want to let you know that before you heard it from someone else. It is hot off the press. This was a decision made this past Friday. So We're still working through all of that ourselves. But pray for us, and we love you guys with all of our heart, and we'll continue to be here this summer. And so it is a time, though, that I feel like it's going to be a time of maturity for us, and of growing, and of stretching ourselves, and of trusting God, and going on to new places. And so today I am going to talk with you more about growing to maturity in your discipleship, in your Christianity, because if you don't grow to maturity, you're not going to make it. You know, you've got to mature, right? In life, but also in faith. If you don't mature, you don't make it to the finish line. In Luke chapter 8, verse 14, this verse Jesus teaches about different soils, different types of people, and how we respond to the gospel and whether you make it or not. And one of the bad soils, it talks about here in Luke 8, 14, it says, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear the word, but as they go on their way, they are choked out by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. And so one of the soils that doesn't grow, that doesn't honor God, that doesn't make it spiritually, doesn't do that because it does not mature. And so people will walk away from God, be choked in their faith due to worries in life, deceitfulness of riches and pleasures, but also if they do not mature. And so it's so important that you mature as a Christian. That when you're baptized, you come out of the water, right? Like Sierra was just baptized last night, right? She comes out of the water, born again, a baby Christian, right? Our new little sister. But then all of us, when we come out of that water born again, we need to grow, right, and mature. And so a conviction of every disciple's need to be that you are always growing, always repenting, always maturing and becoming more like Jesus. In Colossians 1:28, it says, He, being Jesus, is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. And so this says that, hey, what's the goal of our preaching, of our church, you know, work and focus? It's to present everyone mature in Christ. Maturity is the goal. You know, the way this word is also translated sometimes, the word mature, is also the word perfect. But none of us is ever going to be perfect. And so it doesn't mean perfect as in faultless, but as in completed, as in mature, as in becoming more and more like Jesus. You know, the way I like to think about it is not that we become perfect, but you become mature as a Christian, right? You might say of somebody, hey, she's a perfect student. Now, does that mean that they literally get nothing wrong on any test ever, and they never have a sick day and miss class or never get a thing wrong? No, it doesn't mean that. But what would it mean to be a perfect student? It means they do their best. They care about the work. They communicate. They show up. They pay attention in class. They do the work, right? Like, okay, perfect not as in never gets anything wrong, but perfect as in this is what a student should be. They get it. They care. They're doing their best. They're striving for it. And so we think about that as a Christian. We want to be mature Christians, right? You don't worry about a mature student showing up for class. You don't worry about a mature student doing their homework. You don't worry about a mature student asking for help if they don't know something or dropping out of school because it got difficult one semester. In the same way with spiritual maturity, with discipleship maturity, you don't worry about Jesus. You don't worry about a mature Christian of whether they're going to be able to serve in the body or not, or whether or not they're going to have their time with God, or whether or not they're considering walking away from God just because Christianity got hard all of a sudden, right? That's what a perfect, a mature Christian is. And so my question is, are you a mature Christian, or are you maturing, right? When you look at your Christianity since becoming a Christian, would you say, hey, I'm kind of in the same place? Or would you say, no, I am maturing in my faith? We're supposed to mature. Right? The church is called a body. You're a part of the body. Imagine if from childhood some parts of your body matured and others didn't. Right? Like, that would be a pretty freaky looking situation, right? It's like, yeah, this arm, it just never took off, you know, but this leg did and the other one didn't. You know, there'd be a lot of oddness going on there, right? But as a body, each one of us is a part. It's not right. It's not healthy if some of us mature and others become Christians but then don't mature in their faith. That's not healthy. What's healthy is each person maturing. And God's church needs that. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 16 is a key scripture I'll be using today. But it has this idea of maturity. It says, "It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers." Okay, so there's leaders in the church. And are they supposed to do everything? Are they supposed to know everything? Well, let's see what they're supposed to do. What is their role? Verse 12, "To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then, when we're mature, we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead of being tossed and blown around and remaining infants, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Now, I think this chunk is such a key scripture in the New Testament, and one I go back to a lot, and I would encourage you to dig into and study out more and more. And what it says is that the goal is to one day no longer be infants, but to become mature disciples of Jesus. Right? People who are faithful, spiritual, engaged, active, growing. And of course, it's okay and it's exciting to be a baby Christian, but only for so long. If you stay baby for too long, it becomes unhealthy. We need to mature. And so from this verse, I want to give us a handful of qualities of a mature Christian. Does that sound good? Here's some marks of maturity. Here's what the Bible says a mature Christian is. And it's not all of them, but here's some of them. And so I'm going to have them all start with the letter C. And the first one is conviction. Right? That a mature Christian has conviction. They own their discipleship. And some of these I'll go into more in depth than others. But, right, a mature Christian has conviction. You know, a baby's, and I'm going to talk about babies and infants a lot because it's in the verse, it's Jace's birthday, right? There's a lot going on here, right? A baby's parents care more about that baby staying alive than they even do themselves, right? A baby has no idea, like, I'll die if I roll off of this, right? Like, they don't even know. So the parents, they've got to care even more about that baby staying alive than the child does. A child doesn't realize how important brushing their teeth are. I know because of how much I need to make my kids do that. A child doesn't realize how important eating healthy is, right? Or how important safety is. Why you can't just sprint across the street, right? There's a lot of things a child doesn't understand. But as you grow, you have to take responsibility for your own life. Even to the point where it flips around and you're the one taking care of your own parents one day instead of them taking care of you, right? But that should be as we grow spiritually, is that okay, as a new person, there's all this support and care and other people that are like, man, let's make sure she's reading her Bible because she's not going to make it if she doesn't. Let's make sure he's coming to church because he's not going to do well if he doesn't. Let's make sure, right, kind of like, hey, we got all these safety precautions to make sure they're stay connected to God and they're growing. But at some point, you've got to care more than anybody else does about your Christianity. That you care more. You know it matters. You made a decision. You made a vow. Jesus is Lord. And you need to own that. Own your discipleship. No one else can be a Christian for you. Only you can follow Jesus for you. And so you should care more about your salvation than anyone else does. That is a mature Christian. In Ephesians 4:14, it talks about infants being easily swayed and blown here and there and tossed around. You've got to know if you're a young Christian, which pretty much everybody in this room is, that you're in a susceptible position. You can be blown and tossed here and there by a friend, by a thought, by something you see online, by culture. There's so much that could easily go, yeah, I know I just studied the Bible and decided this, but now this. I know I just said now this. You're not grounded yet. Yeah. And so you've got to be self-aware of that, but then digging in and building convictions of what you believe and what's right and who you're going to be so that you become a mature Christian. Taking ownership of your commitment to God, right? That you take ownership of things that a Christian needs to do to stay faithful, like getting open about sin, right? Maybe people need to ask you about that, but they shouldn't have to forever, where when you mess up, you get open. That you're learning how to make righteous choices in life of what you should or shouldn't do. That you decide, okay, I'm going to read the Bible today, even if nobody's going to ask me. I'm going to have a good prayer time because I need that, not because someone's going to ask me. That you get advice about things, that you share your faith without being prompted, that you show up to the body without being asked, are you coming today? That you're owning your discipleship. You follow Jesus. And so a mature Christian has convictions about who they are, about their character, right? And what I see in a mature Christian is somebody who's developed a closeness in their walk with God that is able to navigate all of the ups and downs and challenges and hurdles that life throws at them. That you are in a place where you go, no, I know the Christian life isn't going to be easy. I know life in general isn't going to be easy, but I know God. I have His Word, and I'm going to get through this with Him and with others. That is a mature Christian with conviction. The last thing I'll say about conviction is that convictions carry over with you wherever you go. And that's so important as a mature Christian because you're going to go through different transitions in life. You're not always going to be around the same people. You're not always going to be in the same place. And so a mature Christian follows Jesus no matter where they go. When you go to a different school or a different job or you move somewhere or you are part of this ministry and then you're in the singles ministry or the marrieds ministry or you transfer from one region to another, or you're in a relationship, you're not in a relationship, or when you're at home or you're at school or you're at work, that a mature Christian has convictions that go with them wherever they go. You're owning your discipleship, following Jesus. So how are your convictions? Are you owning your discipleship? Amen? A second mark of maturity is contributing. Contributing. You guys with me still? You know, a baby, children are very needy, right? There's a whole lot of stuff that you've got to do from the moment they wake you up to the moment you finally go to bed to take care of them, right? And that's not their fault. That's where they're at. That's their stage in life, right? Babies need to be fed, need to be burped, need to be diaper chained, and all of that's fine. And it would be wrong to expect them to do that on their own, right? Like, imagine a parent with the one-year-old, like, feed yourself, you know? Like, change yourself. Like, that would be cruel, you know? And unrealistic. And so part of this is understanding, like, man, what kind of family are we as a church if we don't give extra special care and attention to the young Christians that God blesses us with? Right? When a new person comes to our ministry from somewhere else or gets baptized, you should have it on your mind and on your heart. I'm going to connect with this person. I'm going to make sure they have a friend. I'm going to make sure I have something to pray for them about. I'm going to make sure that I'm there for them and I'm there to help them. That's the kind of family we need to be. But the bigger a family gets, the more needed older siblings are. Right? A family just can't keep adding babies and take, like, a growing family, it's so helpful to have older siblings who are, like, now able to help with the younger siblings coming along. Does that make sense? And so as you mature, you start to give back. You're here to give. You're contributing. And everybody still needs help from others, too. We never get to a place where we're like, I don't need help. No, we all need help. But we're that help taken to help given, it slowly starts to even out of like, hey, I'm here to get, but I'm also here to give. You're contributing. And you're becoming less of a need and more of a need meter in the ministry. You know, in Ephesians 4:16, it says the body grows as each part does its work. And I want to encourage every one of you in here to figure out what is your role in this church, in this ministry? What are ways for you to serve and give? Who can you be a friend to? Right? What are your gifts? What can you give time and heart and energy and friendship and encouragement to in this ministry? It's not like there's just one way to contribute. There's many ways. But figuring out, what can I give to? What can I be here to give? You know, I love seeing people in our ministry start to give. Right? It's been amazing watching, you know, obviously from the start, the Persings and the Brents and, you know, people with gifts of leadership give that to this ministry. And it's been awesome to see Nick and Gigi, John and Saida, you know, different people using these gifts of leadership to serve. And I know everyone in here has been impacted by some of those people that I've just mentioned. But then there's other people too, like a Stephanie, right, who gives this incredible heart and this gift of serving, of setting up awesome events for us and being at things with such a brightness and a joy. I think about our worship team, right? Like, it would be terrible if it was me and if it was a few other people. And so I'm so grateful for all of the people on our worship team who use these gifts to lead us in worship to God, our media team. And look, it doesn't even have to be like these formal public roles. It could be all the ways that some of you are friends to other people in here that I can't be, that others can't be, and just contributing, that there's ways this ministry and people in this room are better because you're here. Contributing. You know, I think about special missions, opportunities to contribute. Right? A mature Christian, when they hear, oh, wow, our church needs to sponsor ministry work in Africa, in the Caribbean, in upstate New York. Man, how can I contribute? That a mature Christian doesn't forget about that or go, yeah, no, I don't have $5 to give to that right now. A mature Christian goes, oh, I need to give. I need to figure out how I could give something. Right? A mature Christian contributes to the mission, to the ministry, and to even financial giving. And so, are you a contributor? And how can you be a contributor in our ministry? And so I got three more. You guys want three more marks of maturity? Here's the third one. And this one will be quick too. A mature Christian is connected, tied in to relationships. Ephesians 4:13 said, until we all reach unity in the faith. And in verse 16, it said, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament. You know, I think it's pretty clear that those who are mature are not independent of others in the body. A mature Christian is not over there when everybody else is over here. A mature Christian is interdependent, intertwined, joined and held together type relationships where, hey, I'm somebody who's here for others, and also others are here for me. We have these joined and held together relationships. And that's kind of connected to the last point about contributing. But I also think that there's something deeper here, that a mature Christian, part of what helps them be mature is that they are deeply invested. It's easy to stay selfish. It's easy to stay immature. It's easy to stay a whole lot of things when you don't let people in close. And you don't get in close in other people's lives. Right? I saw so much in my character when I moved into a brother's house and lived with like four other guys in the campus ministry before I was married. Right? I lived in this home with, at sometimes I think there was seven of us total with one bathroom living there together. And that matured me a lot. It exposed so much of my immaturity, arguing over how to put the dishes away, how to scramble eggs, you know, like just different things that were just dumb. But it these relationships brought stuff out of each other that needed to be worked on, right? And nothing matures you like resolving conflict with people. But you don't do that if you're not close to people. And so a mature Christian is connected. And in those connections, we're going to sin against each other. But then a mature Christian learns from that. How do we repent? How do we reconcile? How do we forgive? How do I apologize? How do we grow and learn from this? A mature Christian is connected and doesn't let sin break those connections, but grows and learns through it. That's part of spiritual maturity. And so, are you connected? And are you maturing in those types of tied-in joint relationships? Amen? Amen? Fourth, a mature Christian is competent. And I want to specifically say competent with the Scriptures. That you're somebody who knows the Bible. You're digging into the Bible. You're a student of the Bible. You're competent with wielding the Word of God as the sword of the Spirit. Right? There are some people who, in Ephesians 6, it refers to the Bible as the sword of the Spirit. It's our spiritual weapon. Right? It's what we fight in the spiritual battle with, and what helps us to be spiritually victorious. There are some people, like a child, who you would not say, here's a sword, go off to battle, right? They would hurt themselves more than they would do any good for anybody else, right? And then there's other people who have trained themselves to use this sword to go into spiritual battle, right? And so a mature Christian is somebody who can wield the Word of God. Ephesians 4:14 said that a mature Christian is not blown around by every wind of teaching, right? When you know your Bible well, you can hear this, you can hear that, you can even have false Christian ideas thrown at you, and you know that's not true in the Bible. That's not true about God. That's not true about being a Christian. That's not what a biblical Christian is, because you know how to use the sword, right? You're not tossed here and there because you're clinging to the Word of God as your rock. You have a firm foundation on the teachings of Jesus. Another really important maturity passage, Hebrews 5:12, says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, which is talking about spiritual, miraculous spiritual gifts, the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so. You know, these verses talk about becoming a mature Christian, and it's intimately connected with being trained by the Scriptures, knowing the elementary teachings, becoming somebody who even can teach those to other people, that you've trained yourself from the Word to be able to distinguish good from evil. And I want to talk about this being competent with the Word of God in two different ways. One part of being mature is knowing and being able to teach the elementary teachings to other people. Right? That a mature Christian knows the basics of Christianity well enough that you even are learning how to teach that to other people who don't know those things. Right? So how well do you know what the Bible says about these different first principles? Right? And it lists some of them out here. How well do you know what the Bible says, and can you teach others about faith in God, about discipleship, about sin, about the cross, about the Word, about baptism, about repentance, about eternity? Right? Do you know what the Bible says about these topics, and can you teach someone else to become a Christian? Right? Mature disciples make disciples by teaching the Word of God effectively. And if the people we save don't mature to know how to save others, then we're not becoming the full body of Christ. Right? And so imagine how many people we'd help become Christians if within about a year of somebody becoming a Christian, they're learning how to teach other people some of the first Bible studies of how to help somebody become a Christian. And just how many more people we could reach and teach the Scriptures to if each new young Christian had the conviction, I'm going to now learn how to teach this to others. And so, are you learning how to teach the elementary teachings to others? And secondly, not just wielding the word for others, but wielding the word for yourself, right? A mature Christian uses the Bible to distinguish good from evil, Hebrews chapter 5 said. And so you are maturing and growing more and more in how to use the Bible to handle all the types of different situations and temptations and challenges that come up in life. And that when you face different things, you're going to the scriptures and learning what pleases God in this situation. What does Jesus teach about this? How do I be like Jesus in this place in my life I'm dealing with right now? What does the Word of God say to do or to act or to be or to think? Or what does the Bible say is true about this different topic that has come up or situation I'm in? That a mature Christian is competent with the Bible to answer any and all questions that come up in life and in faith. Are you guys with me on that? You know, a mature Christian is learning to think biblically. I won't read it, but Philippians 1, 9 to 11 talks about becoming somebody who is able to discern what is best. And the scriptures help us discern what is best. And so a mature Christian is really getting from the Bible. How should I think about life, about what's going on in the world, about what's right and wrong, about what I should do or how I should handle this? Mature Christians are competent to use the word. And so how much are you digging into the Bible and using the Bible to be and to become a mature Christian? And lastly, as a mark of maturity, and I'll hit this one really quick, is coaching. Right? That a mature Christian is someone who is raising others up. Right? That, hey, I don't just need help, but I'm helping raising others up. And, you know, it said in Hebrews 5, by this time you ought to be teachers. It talked about being a supporting ligament. You know, a mature disciple is stable and growing in their discipleship. And so they're able to turn around and help somebody else to grow spiritually. Right? And all over the New Testament is this concept of discipling, of training, of teaching one another to be more like Christ. And so, you know, for others to mature, they need mature Christians in their life helping them to mature. And so, you know, you think about the beauty of God's plan here, that people become disciples, are cared for by older, mature Christians, and then they grow to be more mature to turn around and help another new young Christian grow to become a more mature Christian. And it's this family cycle of becoming, of raising, helping become, raising, and this coaching of Christianity to help each other become and to grow spiritually. Now, I think about different principles in a healthy family. And any responsible parent would never let a child or an incredibly immature person or another baby babysit their child. Right? When you think about, hey, I got to go away for the day. Who can watch my kids? You're not thinking of another kid. You're not thinking of that person, you know, they hardly know how to take care of themselves. Right? You want to leave your kids with somebody you trust is going to take good care of them. Right? Somebody who knows how to take care of themselves, so they're going to be able to take care of somebody else, right? That's the kind of person, and God knows baby Christians are vulnerable. And God's desire is that we bear fruit that will last, right? And obviously, Jesus is the head of the church. God is the father of his family. And I do believe that he wants to bless us with much fruit, right? 30, 50, 100 times what was sown. I wholeheartedly, God believes he wants the city campus to grow to 50 disciples, 100 disciples, 500 disciples someday. But God is also responsible. And he's not going to just give us a bunch of babies that we're not going to take care of. And so you need to mature so God can bless us with new young Christians that you will take care of. Right? I really believe that it's so important that we mature so that we could turn around and be a spiritual coach to help other young Christians. A multiplying ministry is one where disciples make disciples, teach them to become mature as they go make disciples together, and then teach those people to mature and they go do it. That is the multiplying ministry of Jesus. And so a mature Christian is someone who takes care of themselves enough to be able to turn around and raise others up as well. And so there's five marks of maturity: conviction, contributing, connected, competent, and coaching. And I don't think a mature Christian is perfect in all of these, but is making progress in these different areas. That these are not just things you do, but these are who you are and who you are becoming. And so which of these can you focus on? How is it going in these areas in your life? And I want to encourage you to talk to someone about some of these. I want to close out the message today with just a handful of maturing exercises. And I'm not going to go too in-depth on these, but you could take a picture and study these out more. But maturing doesn't just happen automatically, right? You've got to put effort and exercise into spiritual growth and spiritual maturity. And I'll just say a couple quick things about all these. First is that maturing takes time and experience, right? You don't get baptized and then become a five-year Christian a year later, right? It takes 5 years to have 5 years of experience. There's no other way to get 5 years of experience than for 5 years to go by. But in those years, you need to be learning from your experiencing. You need to be having experiences to learn from, right? If you just, you know, become a Christian and then stay in your little box and never get out of your comfort zone, never, you know, stretch your faith, never start giving to others, time is going to go by, but you won't have experience. And so that's why it's time and experience. Time by itself doesn't mature. Experience by itself doesn't mature. It's time, experience, and learning from those experiences that help you to mature. The second one is an eager desire. You won't mature if you don't care about growing. If you don't want to grow, you're probably not going to grow. 1 Peter 2, 1-3 says, "Like newborn infants, crave pure spiritual milk, so that you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." And so this crave pure spiritual milk that a young Christian should crave, you should have this eager desire, hey, I want to grow. I want to learn. I want to move on from baby food to mature food. Help me to grow spiritually from the Bible, from others. Which leads to the third thing, learn from good examples. It says in Ephesians 4, I read, that God gave some to be leaders in the church to prepare God's people to become mature. And so leaders in the church are not there to do everything, but to help be an example and to prepare others to grow and to mature and to do works of the ministry. And so learn from the good examples, from the spiritual leaders that God has put around you. That's the ministry staff, but also just mature spiritual people around you that, hey, those people are there to learn from, to get advice from, to follow their example, to get training and discipling from, that you go after learning from others. You let those people into your life so that they can prepare you to become mature. Amen? Amen. You know, fourth thing is immersing yourself in the Word. There's never too much time in the Bible. That might not be true, but I'm just going to say it because you're probably not going to break the limit on that. There's not too much time you could spend immersing yourself. In Hebrews 5, it says, "Who have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil by constant use." Just constant use of the Bible. Reading it every day, referencing it every day, memorizing verses, writing verses down, looking up verses to help you answer questions and to help others. And just that you're in the Bible, in spiritual books, but even more than that, just in the Bible, immersing yourself in the Word every day. You know, I've been so inspired by my younger son, Tyler, over there. And Tyler and Bradley got this Action Bible, and it is really cool. It's like a comic book version of the Bible. Maybe some of you have seen it before. There's this awesome page in the back of Jesus with a sword killing this 10-headed dragon. It's just like the perfect young boy Bible. But he's got this Action Bible. And, you know, Tyler has been spending time, and no one told him to do this, where he's just sitting down and he's transcribing it. He's got a notebook and he's in a Spider-Man costume to boot in this picture, you know. But he just opens up the Bible, opens up his notebook, and he's writing word for word, transcribing his own copy of the scriptures. You know, and I'm like, man, this guy is immersing himself in the word. And I'm like, make sure you do what it says and you don't just, you know, I'm just kidding. But I'm so inspired by that heart, you know, and you think about, man, Jesus saying to become like little children, just, you know, having that spirit of, hey, let me get in the Bible. Let me learn what it says. And I want to grow in this area. I want to grow in this area. Let me see what the Bible says about this. But, you know, become like this, immersing yourself in the word. And, you know, the last two things I have here are prayer and perseverance. And with prayer, in Colossians 4:12, it says, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ, sends his greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. And so we see Epaphras was praying for them to mature. And so if you want to grow spiritually, pray about it. Pray to God about the areas you want to grow in. Bring prayer into the picture as part of a spiritual exercise. And lastly, perseverance and enduring discipline. James 1:4 says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. There are challenges to your faith and in your life that every single person in this room is going to face. But not every person might get through those challenges to the maturity that is on the other side. The way to get through it is perseverance, enduring hardship, enduring discipline. But when you persevere, when you let perseverance finish its work, when you endure that discipline or that hardship, it matures you. It builds your character. It builds the strength of your Christianity and of your faith. And so whatever you're wrestling with and going through, if you give up, if you take the easy way out, you will remain a baby spiritually, and then you will not make it spiritually. Not persevering is a recipe for quitting on following Jesus. Every one of us will have to persevere, not just to mature, but to make it to heaven. And so that's just a decision we need to make, is this is going to get hard. What am I going to do when it gets hard? Right? And then that's where maturing comes in play, because the more mature we are, the more ready to handle those challenges and those difficulties that we are. Now I want to say, with all of these things, it is a process. Right? Everyone is going to grow at various paces, but the expectation is that all of us are growing. And so accept, hey, I'm not arrived yet, but I'm maturing. I'm growing. I'm on my way. And it's a never-ending journey of becoming more like Jesus. I do think there is a layer of, hey, I'm not a young baby Christian anymore. I am a mature Christian. But then we remember that biblically, maturity is becoming like Christ. And becoming like Christ is what every disciple is going to spend the rest of our life doing. And so we should all always be wanting to mature and be becoming more and more like Jesus. And so what are some of these spiritual maturing exercises that you feel compelled today that, hey, I want to start practicing these more. I want to be growing in these more. It's so important that you and that this ministry grows and matures spiritually. You know, God has already blessed us with 8 new baby Christians this year in this ministry. And I do think there's a lot more to come with the second half of this year. Moving on to maturity is imperative if we're going to help those people to become all that God has helped them to be, and to help more and more people besides them become Christians. And so for all of us, be a young Christian, but don't stay one. Go on to maturity. Grow to spiritual maturity so that you can remain faithful yourself, but also become everything this ministry and that God has designed for you to be, to help others grow to maturity as well. Amen. I love you guys. I hope this was helpful. Follow this essential of growing to maturity.